that offer of Christmas dinner. It's no longer a request, it's a demand. In memory of those we've lost.
Oh, go on then.
Really?
Just this once. You've actually gone and changed my mind. Not many people can do that. Jackson, if anyone had to be the doctor, I'm glad it was you.
The feast awaits. Come with me. Walk this way.
I certainly will. Merry Christmas to you, Jackson.
Merry Christmas indeed, Doctor.
Happy Christmas, everyone. Welcome back to the TARDIS Blend. I'm Greg Davies.
And I am Stifler Tom Cheridar.
And we are here to have our own little Christmas special where we've picked a few episodes that we're going to recommend if you need a bit of a doctor fix on your Christmas day. There's going to be four picks that we've made, and we have a bit to discuss about them. And, of course, let's start off. Tom and I chose two episodes. He chose one and I chose one. And it turns out that we're going to do those two later in the show because we've already reviewed them as full episodes. But one of the things that came up in our discussions was we really should pick a Russell T. Davies era story that we've never actually done a review for. Some of our long-term listeners will remember we started when Matt Smith joined Doctor Who in Series 5. And so we thought we'd start off with that, and then we'll move on to something a little odd, and then to our choices. So let's kick it off. Tom, you recommended The Runaway Bride, directed by Euros Lynn and written by Russell T. Davies.
And you know what's funny is when I talked about doing this, I was like, I don't even know where to begin. So I just picked this one first. And as I made my way through all the other specials, this one just really kind of popped for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great episode. Introduction of Donna, one of the strongest companions of New Who.
And you can really see why they brought her back.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the snarky sarcasm from Donna is the perfect foil for the Doctor, you know, and it got rid of the whole romantic undertones from the previous two companions, which was refreshing.
You know, I think I figured out why that whole Rose romance period was kind of not universally reviled. I know quite many people that really like it, but there are just as many that don't. It's kind of very polarizing. But I think it really worked because it gave this piece of character building from the Doctor. And then we set him off on his way. And Donna was just kind of, just like you say, the perfect companion to kind of advance where they were going with Rose, but in a completely new direction with a Doctor that you'd kind of known and grown familiar with, but couldn't quite see kind of around the curve.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, hey, guys, it's Christmas.
Yeah. Donna, played by Catherine Tate, her story arc in beginning in this Christmas special and then on into Series 4 is probably one of the most tragic of all companions because she had some wonderful character development throughout her tenure in Doctor Who, and she grew as a character only to tragically lose all of that at the very end. And it's very touching because those two got very, very close as Doctor and companion. And I think this episode works really well. The other thing Donna does is she keeps the Doctor accountable.
Is she the first one that points out he needs somebody to travel with him?
Yes. I think Martha might have mentioned something, but hers.
Well, was she was the before Martha. Explicit. Remember, we saw.
Yes,
we got
actually,
Donna.
Yes, you're right. You're right. She is the first. So, and that what you're talking about there is we got our first glimpse of the Time Lord Victorious from being alone for so long. We see this come to fruition in the waters of Mars, but in this episode, we learn that the Doctor needs a companion to keep him in check. And that's a very important point. I'm not so sure that was ever brought up before, either in the classic series or in earlier episodes. But that's basically what it was.
The thing that I really like the most about it is that, you know, kind of from the interactions, the story is just kind of comes together. It is kind of like goofy Christmas as opposed to classic Christmas. But there's already so much classic out there that this just really kind of stood out to me.
Right.
You've got all of the imagery. You've got the the giant spider lady villain.
Yes,
the with Arachnos. Her spaceship that looks like a snowflake lit up in the middle of the sky. And it's, you know, you've got the infighting. You've got kind of the family holidays and the you know, family being family in times of strife and crisis, in this case, Donna's wedding being kind of kaput. But everybody's still kind of making do.
Right. Yeah, it's a great episode. I really like it. I don't really have much more to say about it, actually, but it's a fun romp. And actually, I will say something. My favorite scene in that whole episode is the car chase sequence.
I can't believe we had to mention that now. I love that, and I've replayed it 3 times.
It's fun, isn't it?
Because I was just like, holy... Yeah, it is. It's just so fun. It feels like I'm watching a cartoon. That level of fun. Where you're like... Or a big-budget movie. Even though, you know, the effects are not really there. That being said, I don't think they did very bad at all.
No, they didn't.
Just having the TARDIS go down a major highway chasing after cars is just something that I don't think we've seen since, certainly.
We didn't see it before, either.
Yeah, I mean, it's they pulled off a TARDIS car chase scene.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty ambitious and bold. So, all right, let's go ahead and move on. My choice, I wanted to pick a classic Doctor Who episode, which is... unusual because there weren't this. I think this is the only Christmas special per se that they ever did in the history of Classic Who. And the episode, the serial is called The Daleks' Master Plan, and it is a very ambitious serial that's broken up into 12 separate episodes. It's probably, along with Trial of a Time Lord, the longest set of episodes for a serial. It features William Hartnell as the Doctor, directed by Dougie Camfield and written by Dalek creator Terry Nation. The interesting thing about this, and it's very unusual, is that right at the very end of the episode, William Hartnell makes an unscripted ad lib and turns to the camera and wishes a Merry Christmas to everyone at home. And I did a little reading on this, and it turns out that even though when we look back at this and go, whoa, that's really weird. That's like never really been done before in Doctor Who. Even though that's the case, it was actually common practice at the time for BBC shows to have a direct address to camera for a Christmas episode. I didn't know that.
That is, and that was from the very top. That wasn't just specific to Doctor Who.
Yeah, but and it's never happened since in Doctor Who, as far as I'm aware. I mean, there's some fourth wall references throughout the series, but this is the only time where a Doctor has very explicitly done so. Actually, now, it was his Deadpool moment.
Major fourth wall. Maybe check the obscenity at the door. Rather this time. Now this is one of the serials where is this one of the ones that's not fully complete? We have some of the episodes missing. Do we know which ones are missing?
There's only three remaining that are available on a Doctor Who DVD. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it collects a couple of those episodes so that the fans can check them out. Yes, this is most of these episodes are missing. There are fan reconstructions out there, so you can find it if you want to. And I think I may be wrong about this, but I think the clip of Hartnell wishing everyone a Merry Christmas is available online at YouTube. I didn't get to check that earlier, but you can check that out and see if it's there. And of course, I'm going to put in a clip right now. Let's go ahead and play William Hartnell wishing everyone a Merry Christmas.
Whatever was that place?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm glad we got away.
What were they doing?
Your guess is as good as mine. Let's hope we never land there again.
Here we are.
What's this?
Well, we so rarely get a chance to celebrate, but this time we must.
Celebrate?
Yes. It's Christmas. Don't you remember the police station Christmas?
So it was, yes.
Here's a toast. A happy Christmas to all of us.
Same to you, Doctor. Sir?
Incidentally, a happy Christmas to all of you at home.
And there we go. So this is an interesting episode from the serial because overall the Daleks' master plan is very kind of dreary and dark. But what happened with this was that the episode was scheduled to be broadcast on Christmas Day. And so the BBC didn't want it to be dim or anything. They wanted it to be more upbeat and jovial. In this one, we actually see the Doctor and his companions land in Hollywood in the silent film era. It's the first time when the Doctor meets Charlie Chaplin.
I'm really sad that I cannot, but I would absolutely want to listen to the audios.
Yeah, they're probably out there on YouTube or something. The other thing about these missing episodes that I found interesting is that this particular episode, The Feast of Stephen, is believed to be the very first episode to be junked by the BBC.
As in, they decided to overwrite it?
Yeah, or get rid of the tape. So,
that's interesting. Yeah. Do we know how it was received originally by the audience?
It was generally positive. Most television on Christmas Day in the UK is a bit of a fun fair, but some fans find it a little off-putting with the breaking of the fourth wall at the end. But it's an unusual one, and you know, if you're a fan, it's at least worth checking out that one scene at the end of the episode. So there you go. Classic Doctor Who reference. What's next on the list is your recommendation from New Who. We've chosen two episodes from the Stephen Moffat era of Doctor Who. Go ahead with your pick.
So let me first, right off the bat, say that Stephen Moffat, more than Russell T. Davies, he kind of made the Christmas specials. When people think of Christmas specials well into the future, I firmly believe that Stephen Moffat will be a household name in Doctor Who history, and it will all culminate because of his first big special with Matt Smith, A Christmas Carol.
Oh, I love this episode.
It is It is just a classic. It is so good that you could watch it every single year the way that you watch Charlie Brown Christmas, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or Frosty the Snowman of Doctor Who's catalog of episodes. I really like that they threw away some of the regular rules that would make you overthink it. I also really liked how they kind of at the forefront explained that this was a different planet. Yes, these are humans. Yes, there are fish that look like they came from Earth. Yes, they're not supposed to call it Christmas, but they quickly forget that and do it anyway. And it works. It works so well. And it's just, it is the most fun that I feel like Matt Smith has ever had in his career. So many one-liners that you can get out of this this episode. I mean, if you were to do a highlight reel on its own, the two that really stick out the most were when, you know, Matt Smith comes in and he meets the character who's, as a child, the main guest star who was kind of playing the Scrooge-like archetype.
Kazran.
Yeah. He, you know, the doctor asked him, he said, "Oh, hey, have you watched Mary Poppins?" And he said, "No." And he goes, "Well, good, because that comparison would have been rubbish anyway."
Right.
And it was in a conversation he was having. He said, "If you're my babysitter, and you're not supposed to do this." And he goes, "No, I'm not your babysitter. I'm what you want." And it's like, yeah, it is. And seeing all the pictures of each time that they have gone on adventures on Christmas Eve, it was just such a warm episode, and one that, like, I almost feel like they shot himself in the foot because there was no way he was ever going to be able to top that. And I feel like he really only got close with the Swan Song episode with Capaldi.
Right. Right. This is definitely one of the best Christmas specials that Doctor Who has ever put out. Obviously, it's loosely based on the Dickens novel of the same name. And the great thing about this is that it's so adaptable to Doctor Who, you know, with the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future, that it often makes me wonder that if Stephen Moffat ever got the offer to actually do an adaptation of A Christmas Carol, the actual Dickens novel, he should go for it. Because he nailed all the emotional moments in this episode just beautifully. Especially Michael Gambon, who played Sardig, the Scrooge character. He's absolutely stellar in this episode with his performance. I mean, he stole it. He stole the show.
"Now, your past is going to change. That means your memories will change too. Bit scary, but you'll get the hang of it."
"I don't understand."
"I'll bet you don't. I wish I could see your face."
"That never happened."
"But it did."
And I have to say, I think my favorite scene in this episode is the one where the one of the Ghost of Christmas Future. It's very dark. It's very emotional. And I, for one, was not expecting it when it aired. I did not foresee that. I thought they were going to go down the traditional route.
I did
Christmas
too.
Carol, and it was just beautifully handled. The Doctor, played by Matt Smith, is brilliant in this episode. But it's
you
just
remember,
it's just
I feel
fun.
Like we spent 10 minutes talking about this, but do you remember that line, Matt Smith, the throwaway where he's trying to tell them what's happening, and he's like, "They're getting the car now. Marilyn Monroe thinks we're going to marry. You know, we're going to get married," and they don't. Neither of them talk. They're making out. Then he goes, "All right, this is happening. We're doing this. Marilyn, get your coat."
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, that's very funny.
It's so unexpected in a Christmas episode, yeah. But I was just like, I remember cackling.
And Riversong later taunts him about that, of all the women that he's married, such as Elizabeth I and Marilyn Monroe. So they did actually tie the knot. You know, so pretty funny. Yes, one of the best episodes. So, yeah, that's Tom's recommendation. And, Tom, I'm cheating a little bit because we talked about this one during our last episode. And you mentioned it just a few minutes earlier, and that is Peter Capaldi's farewell in Twice Upon a Time, directed by Rachel Talele and written by Stephen Moffat. It was a bold move on the part of Stephen Moffat to have the first Doctor return, wonderfully performed by the magnificent David Bradley. He was amazing.
David Bradley is a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this episode, it's kind of funny because I would say that most New Who fans haven't had a lot of exposure to classic Doctor Who. And because of that, Stephen really pushed this idea of the first Doctor learning from Capaldi to stand up for the Earth. This place is protected. And that's the first time that the first Doctor, at least in the new series, learns about that. But it actually happens over a couple of episodes in the classic series, the first being when first companions Ian and Barbara leave. He learns that he needs a companion to help keep his perspective. And then there's this wonderful closing scene in one of the episodes of The War Machines where the Doctor realizes what's going on, the war machine is coming up, and he stands in front of it kind of like Superman standing in front of a giant Brainiac ship or something like that. It's really wonderful, and that's really the first time that the Doctor in the entire series decides that he has to stand up for the Earth. But they kind of recap that in this episode because it's never really been brought up in the new series before. So I found that very interesting. And the best part of this episode to me is the comparison between gender perceptions from the 1960s and the current era. So masterfully done. Very, very funny. Extremely funny.
So, do we talk to them? Ask them questions? How does it work?
We don't do anything.
Oh,
I do.
Oh, no.
You're going to wait in the TARDIS.
Why?
Because you need to look after the captain.
You're lying. You think I'm a duplicate? A trick?
I don't know what I think. But if there's the slightest chance that Bill Potts is alive and standing in front of me, then I will not, under any circumstances, put her life in danger again.
Seriously? You're looking right at me and you don't even know I'm here.
Correct. I ask you to respect that and respect me.
You're an arse. You know that? You're a stupid, bloody arse.
As I have always respected you.
If I hear any more language like that from you, young lady, you're in for a jolly good smack bottom.
Can we just pretend that that never happened?
I'm a broad-minded girl. I mean, I know we have this whole professor-student thing going on, but...
Can we just never, ever talk about this again?
Yeah, I hope we talk about it loads. I hope we spend years laughing about it.
And I loved a lot of those quotes in there. It's very funny.
I feel like I would normally have more to add, but as you could tell, I'm a little stuffily today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with what you said because that sounded amazing. It makes me want to go back and rewatch it immediately.
I will say that both Tom and myself are a little under the weather at the moment. So we here we are working for Christmas for you guys. donations can be sent to... .. Okay. Yeah.
The Lord's Foundation for Lonely Children.
The last mention I'll make about Twice Upon a Time is the Lethbridge-Stewart connection with Mark Gatiss playing that role. Wonderful role, and making a beautiful connection to the Brigadier, a very important character in the history of Doctor Who. Thumbs up all the way around. So these are our four recommendations. Twice Upon a Time, A Christmas Carol, The Runaway Bride, and the Daleks Master Plan episode called The Feast of Stephen.
And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and add a totally random pick for anybody who speeds through these episodes and still feels like they want something to watch that's not very serious, a little lighthearted. It is a seminal classic. Greg and I were eschewing earlier before the episode started. This is actually not an episode. This is a full feature-length sequel movie called The Daleks' Invasion of Earth, 2150 AD. Now, don't watch the actual version of that. What you want to do is go to Amazon Prime and make sure to watch the Riff Tracks version of this this movie, which is based on the Doctor Who television serial, but that's all slightly different. It's like, it's kind of like when you try to tell the pitch to someone of what, you know, someone asks, what's Doctor Who? And they're not really a geeky person. They don't really watch sci-fi. They're probably not going to watch Doctor Who. If you gave them a very basic, dry explanation, that's what this movie is. Yeah. But that comedy track is, it's fun. It's, you know, it's a nice continuation for your holiday spirit.
Yeah, I agree with you. We were chatting about that earlier, and Tom actually, while he was watching it, filmed a video to send it to me online. To he wasn't aware that those movies existed. Made in America, I believe, and or funded by Americans, and it's pretty terrible. And it's lovely to hear that the Riff Tracks guys have got a commentary on it.
What was the line from Peter Cushing at the very beginning of that clip that I sent you?
Yeah, before his Moff Tarkin glory days. So,
back in his lesser Moff Tarkin days.
Oh, it's a busy title. The original title was even worse. Daleks Invasion Earth 2150 AD, who stopped living and became mixed up zombies.
Wow, that's
not done yet. And Carol and Ted and Alan.
Yep, that's
hold him. On. And the Chamber of Secrets.
Finished?
The other thing I want to mention as well, a little trivia about that movie, it features Bernard Cribbins, who is best known in New Who as Wilfred. So, yeah, if you're interested and you want something different, something a little bit of fun, you can check that out. And is that on YouTube?
Wilfred is he is the old man Doctor Who companion I most think of when I think of Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's been in a couple of them, so yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, that we're going to close out here, everyone. Coming to you from the galaxy, I'm Greg Davies.
I'm Tom Chardar.
And we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Speaking of which, we'll be back in the new year to present our review of the New Year's special called Resolution. And that's coming up in a little over a week. So best get ready for that. All right. Thanks again, folks. We'll catch you next time.